we're going to start a chapter now that you will sit there and you will say to yourself, you know what, I think we have done some of this before. And you'll be exactly right. We really have done the majority of the discussion of all this already today, except we kind of did it piecemeal before. Now we're going to proceed straight through it at a logical order that it really goes in. The first cell involved in the immune system is going to be an antigen-presenting cell. That cell, the macrophage, the dendritic cell, the Langerhans cell, or the B cells, are going to engulf this antigen. All of this is nonspecific except a B cell. You know that a B cell only reacts with something specifically, doesn't it? Okay. But these macrophages can ingest and they can process this antigen. Some of the other cells pinocytose it. But no matter what, they get it into vacuoles and they digest it. This is called antigen processing. Now, from the picture that we had this morning, what is going to happen if that is an external antigen? What's going to be produced? Class II molecules are going to be produced in the endoplasmic reticulum along with class I. These class IIs do not combine with endogenous. What does class II combine with? Exogenous material. Combines with exogenous material. That particular molecule will now move. Class II molecules are transported when they encounter exogenous materials. So the peptides that bind into the groove of class IIs are the result of exogenous entry and digestion. The peptide or the epitope will be recognized by a specific T cell receptor on a specific T cell, and it will be recognized as non-self. If this piece of bacteria is taken in and eaten, it will be recognized as non-self. Now we're going to get into something brand new. We're going to get into some new types of information. So if you're kind of sleepy, kind of shake yourself loose a little bit, okay? This is important. What is the interleukin that I've told you today that you want to make sure that you know, the first one that you want to know? You want to make sure that you know interleukin 8 from macrophages is chemotactic, okay? Now let's go a little further. What was the first cell involved in immune response? The antigen-presenting cell. The second cell that's involved in the immune response is a CD4 helper lymphocyte. That is just what we got through showing you. When the T helper lymphocyte with the antigen receptor that is specific for this peptide in the groove of the MHC molecules comes in contact, there is an activating signal. We are going to start activating that particular molecule. These activation signals include cytokines. These cytokines include interleukin 4, which activates B cells, and gamma interferon, which activates macrophages. We are just getting, you remember from that page this morning, it said site of inflammation. We have just started the inflammation in that site. The T cell has now come in contact with the antigen-presenting cell. It is producing its cytokines, and the cytokines that it is going to produce is interleukin 4, which activates B cells. So interleukin 4 comes out of here and activates this B cell. Gamma interferon comes out of here and activates macrophages. Okay? Now, macrophages in turn secrete interleukin 1, 6, and tumor necrosis factor, which activate T cells. All of a sudden, we're getting a mass of information right here that's kind of garbage. We don't want it to be. We want you to maintain very straight and narrow here. First thing I want to say is on the macrophage, Macrophage can produce interleukin 1, and that is the main inflammatory interleukin. Okay, now how many interleukins have I now said that you make sure you know from this point on? There's only two of them that you know for sure right now. What are they? 8 and 1. That's the two that I want you to know for sure. Now you say, well, Dr. Dunn, you just got through saying all of these others. You said 6 and you said 4. That's important. Let's review. Let's make sure we're on the right page. Where does interleukin 1 come from? Macrophages. It is inflammatory. Where does interleukin 8 come from? Macrophages. It is chemotactic. Where does interleukin 2 come from? T cells. And what's the purpose of it? To stimulate other T cells. Auto-stimulation, okay? Auto-activation. This is a great picture. You're probably already noticing, you know what? It seems like we keep doing the same thing over and over. Well, in a way, that's right. This is a little bit different picture. It might even be a little bit better picture to see some of the stuff. Looky here. We're taking an antigen in and we're chopping it up. Here it is being chopped. MHC2 molecules are being produced. They come and they react with this piece of antigen and they bring it up here and they present it. Here's the epitope. Here is a T cell. Here's the CD3 molecule. What is the CD3 molecule of the T cell for? Signal transduction. Excellent. Signal transduction. Here is the CD4 molecule. Here is a T cell receptor. What did that interleukin do? What did that interleukin from that macrophage do? It caused inflammatory reactions. It stimulated that T cell. Here that T cell is now stimulated. How is that T cell going to stimulate itself also? By producing interleukin 2. Does interleukin 2 also stimulate B cells? Yes, it stimulates B cells. Now tell me something else from the last page that we could put right here coming out of this T cell. We could put interleukin 4 and draw an arrow to where? Look at your last page. Come on. You could What does it say that the T cells produce also? Interleukin 4. And what do they stimulate? B cells. What else does it produce? Gamma interferon. What does gamma interferon do? Stimulates what? Macrophages. So you could draw an arrow right here to here with gamma interferon. You could draw an arrow from here to here with interleukin 4. You could draw an arrow from here back to here with interleukin 2. Okay? Now, to make sure we're on the same page, everybody, let's not get too much information on interleukins. USMLE does not expect you to do that much detail. Macrophages produce 1 for inflammatory reactions. T cells produce 2 to self-stimulate themselves. Macrophages produce 8 for chemotaxis. T cells produce 4 to stimulate B cells to make what? Antibody. Okay? We're going to do about 10 of them total is all we're going to do. Just going to do about 10. Okay, now we can see that B cell, he can either react with antigen or he can be stimulated by T cells to make antibody. Now we're going to spend just a little bit of time on B cell, T cell cooperation. And you know what? We had pictures of that just a minute ago. Remember, if I go past a page and I don't cover that page, that doesn't mean that I'm skipping over that and you're going to be hurt somewhere. That means that's not important at all, okay? We're only covering important stuff. In fact, we have now actually gone through all of that with maybe one exception. Interleukins come from T helper cells, and they include IL-2, IL-4, and all of a sudden here comes a new one, IL-5. I just want you to mark that IL-5 right now, and a little bit later, maybe the first thing tomorrow, we may not even get to it today, is we're going to tell you about IL-5. But we've already talked about CD40 and CD40 ligand are important for class switching. CD28 and BEAT7 are important for co-stimulation. Now I want you to look at this picture. To my knowledge, there is only one thing on there that might be a little bit new. There's only one thing. Here's a B cell. It takes in the antigen, chops it up, class II molecule presents it. Here's a T cell, T cell receptor. This is a T helper cell. Here is a B7, CD28. Here's a CD40. Here's a CD40 ligand. There is absolutely nothing new there except this. What did we say a CD3 molecule on a T cell was for? It's a signal transduction molecule. Here it is right here. I want you to look and see that it's made up of a whole bunch of different proteins. Gamma, Delta, Epsilon. And in your notes, I want you to make sure that you circle this right here. That is zetas. The zeta is the actual signal transduction molecule of a CD3 molecule. The zeta chains, here's two of them right here, that is the signal transduction molecule of a CD3 molecule. We are going to select a clone. The first statement is one B cell, one antibody. One T cell receptor. And we already know how that happened. That happened in all of this random selection that occurred in the bone marrow and in the thymus. But coming out of that bone marrow was a mature B cell. Now I want you to understand that these IgMs have different specificities, right? They have different specificities. Well, here comes this one IgM molecule, and it happens to react with this antigen, and immediately it starts dividing. Two cells, four cells, eight cells. Some of these will become long-lived memory cells. They may live 10 years. They may live more than that. Memory cells live a long time, okay? Some of these other cells will become plasma cells. These plasma cells will start producing serum IgM, and you know that this is a what? What's the structure of the serum IgM? It is a pentamer. Now, somewhere along the way, that IgM is going to stop being produced, and we're going to class switch, okay? Now tell me what is involved in class switching. It's going to be what?
Interleukins.
Now we haven't named any of them yet. We have not done the class switching ones. Okay? Tell me what molecules are involved in class switching. Telling that B cell it's time to class switch. CD40 and CD40 ligand. Okay? CD40 and CD40 ligand. That's a good page right there. Okay? That is a very good page. This is a great page right here. This page right here shows you the secondary immune response. Here is the primary response. It starts off IgM and it quits. It class switches and IgG starts being produced. If it is a secondary immune response, it is always IgG. And there is no more IgM produced. The secondary immune response occurs on the second encounter with an antigen. The term for a secondary immune response is an anamnestic response or a booster response. It's called anamnestic or it's called booster. There are some fundamental differences between the primary and the secondary response. The secondary has more antibody. The lag phase was shorter. It started being produced very quickly. It took less antigen. And the isotype was already set up. The primary response isotype is M, but the secondary response is always a class switch, and it's usually G unless it happens to be what? Mucosal. Then it's going to be A. I want you to note that antibody affinity improves. The longer this cell produces antibody, the affinity improves. Now, I want you to understand also that there are some pathological lesions associated, or some pathological problems associated with plasma cells. I'm sure the pathologist told you about multiple myeloma. Multiple myeloma is a plasma cell tumor. And the most common one is going to be an IgG one. But there are IgM tumors, and that's called what? Waldenstrom's macrogammaglobulinemia. So understand that plasma cells can get tumors. If they do, they produce too much immunoglobulin, okay? They go into the bones, and those are bad diseases. So I would make sure that I knew that a plasma cell can make too much antibody, and that's called multiple myeloma, and you be sure and read in your path book about the pathological problems with that.